Now, here's what we're going to do, because I know as soon as I said Malachi, some of you in your brain went, oh, man, I thought we were going to make it through stewardship month and not go into Book of Malachi. No. But we're going to look at something different in the Book of Malachi, because here's what I want you guys to see. I don't want you to see the tithe, and I don't want you to see grace giving. What I want you to see today is God's thoughts on your heart and your attitude toward either one. You understand what I'm saying? This isn't about the amount. I don't care about the amount. Listen, I am so past worrying about whether you're offended because I believe in the tithe or I'm offended because you believe in grace giving. I don't care. Here's what I do care about, that every one of us completely understand God's thought process on the tithe and on grace giving. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at, so here's my whole point. If you do not appreciate what I have to say today, you need to discuss it with God. If you get upset about what I have to say today, I don't want to hear it. Tell God. Because I didn't want to preach this today, but God said, yep, that's what I want. And since God is bigger than you are, I'm listening to him. Amen? All right. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Now let me set the stage of the book of Malachi real quick. The book of Malachi is God talking to his people, to Israel, and the whole book of Malachi is about giving. It truly is. It's all about giving, and it's their attitude toward giving and God's attitude toward them for their attitude toward giving. Everybody's caught up with me now? Okay. So as we read this, understand this is a discussion. The entire book of Malachi is a discussion between God and man. All right? Specifically, Israel. And you say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, you know what? I get it. So let's just see what he has to say to the Jews, and then when we go over to Corinthians, we'll see what he has to say to the Christian. Amen? Or the Christ follower. All right. And for those of you who are visiting with us, understand, I don't want your money. I'm just teaching you what the Word of God says about money. All right? So don't walk out going, man, he's another pastor. All he wants is our money. I don't want your money. I want you to give to God what he wants, and that's your heart first. All right, so here we are, Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? So we see immediately right here God saying, I want you to honor me. Where is my honor? See, because he's not getting it. And I'm going to tell you, I believe today that God is not getting his honor. I'm telling you, the Christian today, the Christ follower today, those who say, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, you are not honoring God. You're too busy honoring yourself. Now, does that hold for everyone? Nope, there's an exception to the rule every time. And there are those who say, I love Jesus. And you know what? They love Jesus. And they love Jesus mentally. They love him spiritually, emotionally. And they love him physically because they're willing to give, whether it's of themselves, of their time, of their money, of their resources, whatever it is. And so there are those who say, I love Jesus, and they're obedient. And then there are those who say, I love Jesus, and you're just saying it. Because you're not living it, you're deluded in your thinking, and then there's those who say, "I love Jesus," and you're only saying that because you were taught to say that since you were a little child. But the reality is, you don't even believe in Jesus, and so we have this whole mix of people today. Parents have failed to teach their children the Word of God today, and I think that's why our world is in the mess that it's in. But God says, "Listen, I want my honor. Where is my honor?" And it's really interesting because when he says, I want my honor, he goes into finances. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Let's look at this. He says, where is my honor? And if I am a master, and by the way, the master would be the Lord over your life. If I am a master, where's my reverence? Listen, if I am what you say I am, where is what I deserve from you? If you are married, will you not tell your spouse that you love them? But then will you not show them that love? And God says, I want that. If I'm your Lord, why are you not acting like I'm your Lord? Why are you not loving me like I'm your Lord? And by the way, listen, if I'm the Lord, where's my reverence? Where's my honor? Where is everything that is deserving to me? And you say, well, that's pretty arrogant of God. No, God is God. He's greater than all, and he saved your life. He is deserving of this. And here in Malachi, he's telling his people, I want what is mine. That's a little tough to handle sometimes because we're like, man, that's a little harsh, and it's in your face. But don't worry, this isn't to you. This is to the Israelites. See that? There you go. For right now. Where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? He's not talking about people. He's talking about the sacrifices that are brought into the Lord, and they're subpar. They're less than honorable sacrifices. He says, you know what? You're bringing me stuff that needs to die anyway. There's no sacrifice to you. There's no giving from you. This isn't even going to make it. It's worthless. It's invaluable, and yet you're bringing it to me. You've given nothing to me. You've not honored me. You've not given me reverence. You've given me your junk. Anybody ever been there, right? You're willing to give somebody something, and you're like, oh, don't give them that. That's good. Here, give them this one. It's half broke. Make it look like we did something. And that's all they were doing. They were making it look like they're doing something. And God says, you're not honoring me. You're not reverencing me because your gift to me is garbage. Now, in our mind, we think, hey, something's better than nothing. The offering plate goes by. We'll pop a dollar in, or we'll put 10 in and take a 5 out. We got to get change. And we're like, hey, Lord, we gave to you this week. And God says, that's not even, really? Compared to what I gave you, you gave me nothing. You gave me the sick and the blind. Right? Somebody say amen. Thank you. Just want to make sure you're with me and not ready to throw stones at me. So then he goes into verse 9. Or let's continue 8. Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? He goes, you know what? I'm greater than all, and I am your Lord. And you know what? You give this to your governor because you give better gifts to your governor than you give to me. You give better gifts to others than you give to me. And he goes, see if he'll accept that. I'll tell you right now, he won't. And so you give me the leftovers and you give your governor better than you're giving me, says the Lord of hosts. Do you see what's going on? Listen, this isn't about what is being, this isn't really about what's being given. This is about the heart attitude. Remember, he says, where's my reverence? Where's my honor? Where are you showing me love? Where are you showing me that I am the most important thing to you? So the whole issue, even though he's using money or gifts or giving or the tithe, As the example, why? Because you know what? What you give, that's coming from your heart. You see what I'm saying? So them giving the sick and the blind is like you tossing a 5 in after you made $100,000 this year. And I mean a $5 bill. And then walking out thinking, yeah, I did something. And yet you've done nothing. And that's what he's telling them. You give me your sick and your blind, you're not doing anything. I don't want it. I don't want it. Wow, how cool is that when God goes, I don't even want it. And you say, he hasn't said that. I'm getting there. Verse 9, but now entreat God's favor. Wow, hold on a minute. Look what God says. He says, listen, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to switch gears. I want you to entreat God's favor. Now, what does that look like? God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to correct your behavior. I want you to start reverencing me. I want you to start giving me my due honor. And then when you do that, I'm going to bless you. When you do that, listen, I'm going to show you favor. I'm going to give you favor. That doesn't mean he's going to make you rich. It could just simply mean that he allows you to keep your job. It doesn't mean he's going to give you a brand new car. It just simply means he's going to keep your car running. You get what I'm saying? He says, listen, I'm going to extend favor to you. And I'll get to that here in a moment. But he says, look here, but now. So I've explained to you about your sorry giving and your lack of reverence and honor to me. Now I'm telling you, you can change gears and I'll show you favor. Instead of you know, God could have went, I'm going to put the smack down on you. But he doesn't do that. He says, listen, adjust your heart, adjust your attitude. Give me what's mine, and I will show you favor. Isn't that pretty cool? God says, you give to me what I am deserving. Not just money. Look, he didn't start out with money. He started out with honor and reverence. He said, the problem is your stuff has gotten in the way of you serving me and giving to me what's mine. But when you get your heart right, then you're going to give me what's mine. And guess what? I will show you favor. I'll extend blessing to you. I don't know what that blessing is going to look like. And I'm not going to stand up here and say you're going to get rich. I'm not going to stand up here and say that God's going to heal you. I'm not going to stand up here and say that you're going to get all these new things. Because the truth is, none of that may happen. But he'll give you peace to go through the storm. He'll extend favor to you and allow you to have a relationship you would never have had. To give you peace that you'd never have had. To give you strength that you'd never had. To give you protection that you never would have had. I'll give you favor. Can you imagine what God's favor is? Whoo, that would be good. I'm just telling you. Why? Because God's good. And every good thing comes from him. And he says, I'll give you favor. But he says, but now entreat it. In other words, you control the favor God gives you. Did you get that? You control the favor that God extends to you. You say, well, I don't feel God's presence. Well, it's because you're not present with him. I don't feel God's love. Well, because you're not loving him. Where's the relationship? He says, I want you to entreat this. I want you to activate this. I want you to build this. I want you to come forward and start the ball rolling. I'm here, but you got to make the decision to give me what's mine. And we're not even talking money here. We're just talking to give him honor and glory and reverence. Isn't that what he started out with here in verse 6? You can't walk away from that. You have to hold on to verse 6 because that's what launched this whole attitude of money. I want reverence, he says, and I want honor because it is mine and it is due me. But you're so busy seeking your own that you've left me out. I'm just a name. I'm just a thought. I'm just a process or an idea. And God says, I don't want that. You start giving me what's mine. You entreat me and I will give you my favor. Oh my goodness. Look here. He says in 9, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. If you keep acting the way you were, don't expect anything to change because he's not going to give you favor. But if you change what you're doing and you extend him his honor and his reverence, he'll extend you his favor. You see what I'm saying? God says, listen, if you want this, I'll give it to you, but you got to make a decision. Man, these people who say, like, where's God? What's God doing? God doesn't love me. God, I don't see God. I don't hear from God. Blah, 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 blah. But yet you say, make the same silly decisions day in and day out, expecting something different to happen. And then you get angry when it doesn't. God says you need to die to yourself. And you need to live unto him. You can't, listen, you can't keep living the same silly lifestyle without God and expect God to get involved in it. He's not going to get involved in your ungodliness. That's why he says you entreat me. You need to make a decision for God, and then that's when things start changing. I don't know what they'll look like, and I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's within. I don't know what God has planned for you, but I can tell you this. When you entreat God, he extends his favor to you, and he gives you exactly what you need. Think about that. Exactly what you need. He doesn't withhold it from you. None of it. And we're going to find that out here in just a minute. So he goes on. Verse 10. Who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. He says, I don't want ungodliness. I want you to love me. I want you to give me favor. I want you to give me reverence. And then I will accept what you have. Until then, I don't want what you have, and I don't want you. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want you as a person, because he does, but what it means is, in your state of sin, if you're not willing to change, you stay at bay. When you're ready to do what I say to do, then I want you to come forward. I'm here for you. I love you. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm also not going to tolerate your sinful attitude. Right? Do you guys see this here? Somebody say amen. There you go. That's just waking the others up. Here we go. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. You see what he's saying? Listen, he says in 6, I want honor and reverence. And then he explains how you're robbing him and you're not giving him what's due his. And he talks about money. Why? Because I think possessions get in the way. I think money gets in the way. I think the pursuit of happiness in people's mind is to make more money and to get more things. And that gets in the way. And then you push God out. You're like, hey, you know what, God? There's no room for you here because I got to get all this junk in here. And God says, hey, you know what? And then he comes back to, he unloads all this stuff, how you're letting things get in the way. And then what does he come back to? I want my reverence. Do you guys see that? God says, listen, this isn't about finances. It isn't about money. It isn't about the tithe. It isn't about the offerings. It's about your heart. See, the issue today isn't should I tithe 10% or should I give grace giving of it 30%. It's does he have my heart? It just doesn't change, guys. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, that's the whole issue. It's not, the issue isn't money. It's just that the money has made it. The lack of reverence and the lack of honor to God, that the money's made it the issue. And I think when we grab hold of that and we really look and say, okay, where am I at with the Lord? Where is my heart with the Lord? Where is my mind with the Lord? Where is my time with the Lord? Listen, then the money, it falls in place. But God says, I want what's mine, which is reverence and honor. And he's not going to get that from you if you don't love him. And you say, but I do love him. But if your life doesn't show it, your actions don't show it, I'm going to tell you, you don't. And you go, that's not fair. I don't like it. Welcome to Connecting Point. All right. Verse 12. But you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering? Exclamation. He's upset, guys. He's upset because you know why? You bring the stolen and the lame. And you say, here, let me give you this, God. And he goes, I don't want your junk. I don't want your, you know what? Just take it. I don't want it. Because I don't have you. And you're not giving me what I deserve. You're bringing me junk. I don't want it. You notice how he goes right back to that? He's like, listen, this is who I am. This is what I deserve, but this is what you're giving me. But this is who I am, and this is what I deserve, and this is what you're giving me, and I don't want it. Look here. Oh, by the way, if you notice, he says that they call it a weariness. Oh, I got to give my offering to God again. Man, why can't I just keep it? You know, God knows I need it. You see the heart attitude? He says, it's a weariness to you to give to me what's mine. Yeah, I don't want it. And Look here in 13. I'm just going to park here just for a second. You also say, oh, what a weariness. Do you see that? Do you see the exclamation point? Do you see the emphatic, oh, what a weariness. Like, here we go again, God, again. Look, God ain't playing, man. He wants you to see this. He wants you to get this. Because he wants you not to see that it's about money, but to see that your heart's not with him. Are you guys getting this message? Amen. Here we go. So he says here, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? So now he's saying again, you're bringing me junk, and I don't want junk. And you know what? I'm not going to accept your junk. Take it with you. Take it back, and you throw it away. Do you see this? Right? How many have ever gotten a gift and you've gotten a gift and they've dropped it off and you're so gracious, right? You're like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you for thinking of me. Because you know it's really the thought that counts, right? And then we get this and we're going, really? Are they out of the driveway yet? Okay, throw it away. Listen, I've gotten gifts and I'm just sharing with you. If you do this, I don't know, so I'm just sharing. I got a gift one time, and it stunk so bad like cigarettes. Like as soon as they handed it to me, I'm like, whoo. Yeah, but as a pastor, I can't show those emotions, so I'm like, thank you. Right? Because it stunk so bad. And it's like, okay, what's the thought that counts? Really? White elephant gifts, right? Every year, you can't wait to have a white elephant party so that you can give away the gift that somebody gave you that you didn't want because it was the most lame gift you've ever gotten. And you're like, really? You couldn't have spent more than a buck on that? I mean, listen, if you just went to $3.99 and got me a pack of gum, I'd have been happy because it would have been useful. Right? Am I the only one that thinks like this? And that's what the Lord's saying here. You know what? You're just giving me your junk. You're just giving me your garbage. And then he says, should I accept this from your hand? Really? Should I accept this? No. No. Wow. Think of how many gifts that you would save and annoying people that wouldn't come around if you just said, no, I don't want that. It's not acceptable. All right. Hey, it was a stretch. I thought I'd throw it out there. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But look here in 14. But cursed be the deceiver who is in his flock a male and takes vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. How serious is God about this? You give him your garbage and he says you're cursed because you knew better. That's what he means by cursed who is in his flock a male and takes a vow. You understood who I was. You understood what you were doing, and yet you gave me junk, so you're cursed.
Really? God would do that? Well, according to this, he did.
Because then he says this. Look what he says in 14, the second half of 14. There you go. For I am a, not just a king, I am a great king. Look, I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. I'm not just a lowlife. I'm not just somebody that needs a handout. I am your God. I am a great king, and I will be known around the world. I will be known to every soul, and you're going to bring me garbage? I deserve better. That's what God's saying. I deserve better. And we treat God like what we would call a secondhand citizen. And I don't mean that in a negative way. You guys understand what I'm saying. We treat God like a lowlife. We treat God like he's in our way until we need him. And then, oh, Lord, where are you at? Right? Isn't that what we do? We don't spend any time with him until we need him, and then we're like,
God's no good. Man, let me find something else. Do we not do that? It's unbelievable to me what we do. And God says, I don't like that. I do not appreciate your heart attitude toward me. This isn't about money. This is about relationship. So then, let's go to Malachi 3, 6 through 12. Look here in Malachi 3, 6. He says, for I am the Lord. And then he says this, guys. Right here. What does this say? Wait a minute. What does this say? I do not change. See, God says, I am the Lord. I do not change. So I don't care if we're talking about the tithe, and I don't care if we're talking about grace giving. Here's what we're talking about. God being God, and he wants his reverence, and he wants his honor, and he wants what's due him. And as long as it's finances, because that's what seems to get in the way of everybody all the time, he says, listen, I want what is mine. I am the Lord, and I do not change, which means, you know what? Tomorrow I'm not going to feel any different about it. And in a decade, I'm not going to feel any different about it. And in a century, I'm not going to feel any different about it. And in a millennium, I'm not going to feel any different about it. I am the Lord, and I do not change, and I want what is mine. That's what that says. Listen, God's not playing, guys. God says, I do not change, and it doesn't matter if it was 6,000 years ago, or if it is today, or if it's 6,000 years from now, I do not change, and I want what is mine. He's not talking about money. It's just quite simply money is what has caused you to walk away from him. Things is what caused you to walk away from him. And you think that you can just pop in a dollar bill when you're making 100 grand a year, and God says, you know what, you're not honoring me. You're giving me the blind and the lame, the blemished. There's no sacrifice in what you're doing. There is no honor in your gift. You've done nothing. You know, I don't even want it. Keep it. Keep it. And that's what God's saying. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Even though you don't give me what I deserve, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Think about what God just said here. You're a robber, and you're a thief, and you're a cheat, and you give lousy gifts. But I'm going to keep my word, and I'll keep you. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. And then he says, return to me, and I will return to you. You take that step, and I will be there. Give me your heart. Are you seeing this? Give to me what's mine. I will be there. You return to me. I will be there. I will return to you. I will bless you. I don't know what those blessings are looking at like. I'm not going to tell you prosperity preaching. I'm not going to go down the road and say, you think it's yours. Because you know what the quiet truth is? God might go, that's not what's best for you, and I'm not giving it to you, and I don't care how hard you think about it. Listen, my girls, they are like, Dad, I really want this. And they, no, you're not ready for it. You know, they wanted a cell phone. So for a long, long, long time, like, Dad, can we get a cell phone? All my friends got a cell phone. I need a cell phone. I need to call my friends. What if I'm at school and something happens and I need to call you? And I go, do all your friends have cell phones? All my friends have cell phones. Borrow theirs. You're not getting a cell phone. Well, Dad, when can we get a cell phone? Because all of our friends have a cell phone. When you're 16, you'll get a cell phone. 16, that's 4 years away, 5 years, whatever it was. That's right. Why? Because you don't need it. You know what? You need to grow up. You need to mature. You need to learn how to use your brain. You need to become creative before I give you something that's going to destroy all of that. And guess what? Guess when they got their cell phone? When they turned 16. Didn't get it before that. Why? Because it wasn't good for them. Now, they thought it was good for them, but I knew better.
And God says, you can want it all you want, but you're not going to get it. Why? Because it's not good for you. So I don't know what it looks like for God to give back to you when you give to him. All I know is he's going to give you what's best for you. That's all I know. Wow, this is a two-week message. 17, verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? I want you to see. God says, you know what? You don't honor me because you're robbing me of what's good. You're giving me the junk and I don't want the junk. But if you come to me, I'll return to you. I'll give to you. So entreat me, and I'll give you my favor. And then, but you don't do that. You give me the blemishes again. You give me all this junk. And then he says, but listen, I'll give to you because I'm not going to give you what you deserve, right? In verse 6, I'm the Lord. I don't change. Therefore, I'm not going to consume you, even though you deserve to be consumed. He says, I just want you to return to me. And then he goes into 7. He says, yeah, you know what? You've walked away from my ordinances. You've denied me. You've not treated me right. You've not given me what is mine. And they say, well, what have we done? How have we not given you what is yours, God? And God goes right back to, look here in 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed me? Or have we robbed you? And then God says, in tithes and offerings. He goes right back to it. He says, you know why? Because you're keeping all this stuff because that is where your heart is. Your heart is in the junk rather than the glory. And God says, I just want it back because it's mine. But then he doesn't even stop there. He goes another step farther. Look what he says here in 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. That has nothing to do with us today. Hold on a minute. Go back up to 6. For I am the Lord. And what does it say? I do not change. If it was robbery to God in the Old Testament, it's robbery to God in the New Testament because God doesn't care about the money. He wants your heart. He wants his glory. He wants his honor. He wants his reverence. And that's what you're robbing him of. That's what it comes down to. Listen, it doesn't change. He's just making the point that the things and the money, that's what's robbing. Your love for that is robbing my love that I should be getting from you. See, it's not about the money, guys. Are you seeing this? It's not about the money. It's about your love toward him, your reverence toward him, your glory toward him, your honor toward him. You're not giving it to him. Why? Because you're too consumed over here. And all he's doing is pointing out what's gotten in the way, and what's gotten in the way is money. But it's not about the money. It's just that the money is what's gotten in the way. But how loving is God? Look here in 10. First in 9, he says, you're cursed with a curse because you're a thief. But then he goes into 10. Bring everything that belongs to me. Bring me my tithes and offerings. They're mine. I want them. Bring them. Bring them to the storehouse. Right? That there may be adequate supply to do what needs to be done. That's what he's saying here. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not that there not be room enough to receive it. He goes, you're a thief, but if you correct it now, I'm going to bless you. And bless you so big that you can't receive all the blessing that I got for you. Back up. Back up. You know what? Return to me and I'll extend my favor to you. Adjust your attitude and I will bless you. That's all of chapter 1. All of Malachi says that. You're a thief, but if you correct it, I'll bless you. You're a thief, but if you correct it, I'll bless you. You're a thief, but if you correct it, I'll bless you. And we're not talking a thief of money. We're talking a thief of reverence, a thief of glory, a thief of honor, and a thief of money. God says, but if you correct it, how many of us would go, you have robbed from me ever since I've known you. But if you quit robbing from me, I love you and I will give you grace and favor. Most of us would go, he's a thief. Don't let him in my house. Amen? And God doesn't do that. God says, listen, why? Because it's not about the money, it's about the heart. He doesn't care about the money. He cares about the heart. He's just pointing out that your money and your pursuit of it has gotten in the way of the relationship between you and him. It just, it's repetitive. I mean, God is repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. I love it. I love it. Look here in 11. Excuse me. He says, not only will I pour out blessing on you, but I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Listen, I will keep the locust. Excuse me. I will keep the locusts and I will keep the bugs and I will keep all the junk that consumes your crop. I'll keep them out of your crop. I will keep them gremlins out of your car. I will, listen, I will keep Satan out of the pipes and the plumbing of your house. Listen, I will rebuke that which devours what you have. I won't allow it to devour it anymore. Doesn't mean he's going to give you more. He's just going to protect what you have. Look at the blessing. I mean, I'm telling you, God says, I'm going to pour it all out on you, and I'm going to stop that thing that's eating up your lunch and breaking your car down and tearing your house up and tearing your family apart. I'm going to rebuke that devourer, and I'm going to pull it out if you give me what's mine. And we think, Lord God, you don't know better than I do, and I need this. And I'm just sorry, but I'm going to keep it. Fine. With that, you keep the curse and you keep the devourer. Have a good life. Right? And we go, I don't like that. Well, you talk to God. That's what he said. And he's a God that doesn't change. So I think he means it forever and ever. So then he goes on here. He says in 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. People will look at you and go, man, I can tell you're different. You love Jesus. There's something different about you. It's got to be Jesus. I'm just tell you, man, God is good and he's blessing you. And I can see it, man. Like I can. How many of you ever looked at a person and go, man, I see Jesus on them. I see the Shekinah glory. I see that glow. I see that peace. I can't explain it, but it's there. That's how he's going to bless you. But we choose things over that. We choose things over him. Now, quickly, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 16:2. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 16:2. In 1 Corinthians 16:2. I'm sorry. 16:1. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you, what? Must do also. Right? Isn't that what Paul's saying? So you must do also. It sounds like a command. Yeah, somebody say amen. Then on 2, he says what it is. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay aside something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul's establishing giving. He's establishing giving. We see in Malachi, God said, it's about the giving. It's not about the amount. We don't know what the amount is, right? Do we know what the amount is here? No. As he may prosper. That amount could change. You know what? I think the tithe is the starting point. But man, as you prosper and you grow, and God says, listen, I'm giving to you. You're the funnel. You're the middleman. You need to keep pushing it through. This isn't about you hoarding it. So as you prosper, as you get more, you need to give more. That's what he's saying. I don't know the amount. And then look, same attitude happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And by the way, he's established systematic giving the first day of the week. The first day of the week. What is today? What do we do? we do the collection. We take the collection. Why? To do the work of the ministry. Why? Because there's things that need to be done. Why? So that the storehouse, the church of God, has what it's required to do ministry. How many of your lives have been completely changed because of the church? Why would you not want to keep that going? And that's what God's talking about. And that's what Paul's talking about. This is ministry that changes lives, and you need to invest in it. Then he goes into 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Look at this. How do we know? How do we know? Well, he's talking about giving. 8, 1 through 6 is all about giving. 7, he says, but as you abound in everything, as you abound in everything, but then he starts establishing it in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in all your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace? Giving. You see? See what Paul's doing? Paul's saying, listen, in 16, 1 and 2, he says, I'm telling you, you do this. And then when we get, and you do it weekly. And then he gets over here and he says, and by the way, are we talking about a tithe? I don't think we're talking about a tithe. I think grace giving is much larger than a tithe. Because grace giving says, man, I really appreciate what you give me and what you've done for me, and here's my appreciation. That's what grace giving is. I'm starting to stutter. I got to slow down. I just realized I went, da-da-da-da-da. So then he says, look, so he says, see that you abound in this grace also. Look here in 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Can you imagine if I, as a pastor, says, I'm going to test your love for God by according to what you give? How many people would freak out and not come back to this church? How many people would say, oh, that pastor does, oh, he cares about it. Money, 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 money. He had the gall to go up and say, your love is dependent upon the gift you give. Bless you. Right? But yet Paul says, you know what? I'm testing your love. How much do you love God? Now, today we'd go, guilt trip, guilt trip, guilt trip. And by the way, that is just not PC. It's Mac. I don't even like Mac. It's not politically correct. Paul, how are you? What, you should never make somebody feel guilty and put them under that kind of pressure. I can imagine Paul going, shut up. I don't know. I could just kind of see that because Paul's pretty intense. Amen. Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, I appreciate Paul. But he says, you know what? I'm doing that to test your sincerity. Boy, if I could get away with that. 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet. But you guys getting the idea this is all about money? Your sincerity, your love, your honor, your glory, they wrap it around money? Wow, I find that amazing. Old Testament, it was all about money, wasn't it? Give me the honor, the glory, all this. But you're not because money's in the way. And Paul says, listen, you know what? Your giving is going to determine your love? Really? It's all about it. What amount? God says tithes and offerings. Paul says grace. You choose how you want to give. The truth is, they're talking about the money because that's what's stopping you from loving God, because you love that God, little g God, money, more than you love God, big G God, Savior. And God says you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to have to choose. And Paul's just establishing it, just like the Lord established it in Malachi. Paul's establishing the same principle in Corinthians. Do you guys see this? Amen? All right, so let's finish up because I got a lot to do today, and I want you to be a part of it. All right, verse 10, or 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. If you give to me, I'm going to give to you. Same principle we've seen in Malachi. God says, you give to me, listen, I'm going to give to you, and you're going to be rich. Not money-wise, maybe, but he's talking spiritual. Talking heaven, talking the gifts, right? Look here in 10. And in this, I give advice. Paul says, I knowing what Christ did for us and the fact that you're going to be rich because God's going to bless you, Paul says, let me give you some advice. I love Paul because he didn't care what they thought. All right. I got a little excited for a moment. It is to your advantage. Whose advantage? Ours. Ours. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, which was give, give, give. That's what they desired to do, and that's what they were doing. And he said, it's to your advantage to continue to give. 11. But now you also must complete the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. I love Paul's just going, you need to do it, and you need to do it, and you need to do it, and you need to do it until it's complete. When is it complete? When the rapture happens. When Jesus takes you home. When you take your last breath. Then it's complete. Until then, it's not. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. And I'm going to finish up with this. Man, I cannot believe I actually did this. Woo! All right, little victory dance. Okay. 9, 6 through 10. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Isn't that what Malachi said? Isn't it? You give to me what's mine, and I will open up a window of heaven, and I will pour out so much on you, you can't receive it all, because there's just not enough room in your house. So I might even put some in your driveway, but then there's not enough room in your yard. Don't go rent storage, because that's a waste of money. Poor steward. Give all your junk away to Goodwill, let them sell it, or give it to the Albany Rescue Mission. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the best things you can give to is the Albany Rescue Mission. Boy, they take their money and they take everything that comes in and they put it to the best work of anybody I know. They invest in lives. They pour into lives. They don't take 80% and give 20%. It's literally just the opposite. And it's every day changing lives, pouring into lives. You got junk you want to give away, you take it down to there and you give it to them. Say, God bless, Merry Christmas. But make sure it's worth something. If not, save your gas, save their time, you throw it away. All right, that's a plug-in. That's all right. Okay, here we go. But as I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Remember in Malachi, God said, listen, if it's junk and your heart's not right, I don't want it. I want you to give it to me because you love me, because you want to, because it's good. Is that not what Paul just said here in Corinthians? Listen, we talk about tithing or grace giving, I'm telling you, it's about neither. It is about when your heart is right with God, money doesn't matter. You can pick. If you pick the tithe, that's a set amount, which I think is the base. I think like that is your starting point. The tithe is your, I'm there. I'll never change. You don't even have to agree with me, but I am there. Why? Because Paul says as you prosper, we know that we're to give more as we prosper, but we also know that, you know what, there's just a set amount that we need to give to God because we just love him and we're going to put it aside. Otherwise, we're never going to have enough to give him. Like, you need to make a decision. And that's what Paul's saying here. Listen, you make a decision, you give it to me, you give it to God with joy, or just keep it. Because your heart's not right anyway. You're not going to get the blessings from it anyway. Just keep it. And you know what? I feel the same way. I have people who come into the church. I don't get it so much anymore. I used to get it. It's really pretty minimal now. As a matter of fact, it's been a few years since I've had a dragon come into the church. But they would come in and they'd give a lot of money. And then they'd come and tell me what they think I should do. Really? Let's discuss this. No! And so when they find out that pastor can't be bought, they start getting their feathers a little ruffled. You guys like that? They start getting their feathers a little, you notice I didn't do a full, anyway. And they're like, do you know how much money I give this church? You know how much I care. And that's what Paul's saying. And that's what God, that's what Paul's saying in Corinthians. That's what God said in Malachi. I want you The money is what's taking you away from, the love of money is what's taking you away from me, God says. But when I have you and I have your heart and I have my reverence and I have my glory and I have my honor, you don't love that money anymore. Now you love me, so money's not even an issue. Paul says the same thing here in Corinthians, right? And so then let's finish up the verse so I can close out because I chatted too much. Look here in 9, 6 through 10. In verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, right? He says, first off, he says, you give to me what's mine, right? And he's talking money. There's no question we're talking money. We can't even deny that. But then he does here in Corinthians what he did in Malachi. In Malachi, he says, you give to me my tithes and offerings that you've been robbing from me, and I'll open up windows of heaven, and I'll pour out blessings on you, and I'll give to you. And you can say that's Old Testament, and that's Israel, and that's fine. Leave it Old Testament, leave it Israel. But Paul says the same thing in Corinthians, which is New Testament Christian. All right. Look here in 8. And God is able to make all grace, right, abound to you. Right? That's that windows of heaven poured out. That you always having, look at this, always having all, everything you need, all sufficiency in everything, lacking nothing. I will pour out so much blessing on you, there's not enough room to receive it. Do you guys, or is it just me that I see the correlation here? In all things, may have an abundance to do what? To be the middleman. To be the funnel. To be the blessing. To do the things that I called you to do. To do the work that I have for you to do. Listen, Malachi, he says you'll not lack. Corinthians, he says you'll not lack. Why am I going to bless you? Because we got to do the things of God. That's why we have Stewardship Month. Because sometimes we forget that it actually requires more than a dollar bill to pay for the lights. It requires more than a dollar bill to keep the heat on. It requires more than a dollar bill to get another room ready for another class to grow deeper in Jesus. Listen, if you don't give and your heart's not right, keep your money. Really, just keep it. Because God will bless way more those who love and give with a cheerful heart than he will with skank money. So keep it. Who cares? I'm with the Lord. I want you to give your heart to him first and then open your wallet. Because you'll be less headache to me as well. Right? Amen? It's really not about the money, guys. I have slain a lot of dragons with a lot of money. The question is, do you love the Lord? That's the question. Do you love the Lord enough to give him what's his? If not, then keep it because he doesn't want it and I don't want it. And it's a false pretense to think that if you give it to him that you just gain more points to get to heaven or you just gain more favor with God. He didn't want it to begin with. And you know, it's also a false pretense to think that if you're going to give money to this church that you're going to gain the pastor so that you can gain control over something. It's crazy. It's not going to happen. So I feel the way God feels. Keep your money. This isn't a money issue. It's a heart issue. We've seen it in Malachi. We see it in Corinthians. Doesn't change. Give the Lord what is his. And that is your heart. That is his glory, his honor, and his reverence. And then we won't even discuss money because it'd be no need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, you know what? Man, I have not been honoring God. I mean, you may be tithing, you may be giving, but you're not honoring God because you're robbing him of his glory, you're robbing him of his reverence, you're robbing him of honor. You're treating him like a peasant rather than a king. And if that's you and you say, you know, today today I'm going to change my heart and I'm going to change my attitude. I didn't realize it until this morning that yes, I have had I am making things and money my God. And so today I'm going to change that. If that's your heart attitude, this is a big thing, guys. If that's your heart attitude and you're going to change and you're going to start putting God first because things or finances or job or whatever it is has gotten in the way, and you say, Pastor, today I'm making a resolution to change my direction and to change my focus and put it on God and give him what's his and what's due his. If that's you, will you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. Amen. Hands up going all over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who have made a decision today to say, I am putting you first. I'm going to give you your honor and I'm going to give you your glory that's due. I'm going to reverence you as God, not as just somebody that's in the way, but Lord, I am going to reverence you, Lord, for those who have that heart attitude. Lord, I pray your hand upon them, that you will bless them, that you will truly, Lord, as they entreat you, Lord, that you extend your favor to them. And Lord, that they know it and they clearly see that when they switched gears and decided to live for you, Lord, that you bless them. And however that blessing is, Lord, because you give us what we need, you give us what's best for us. So however that blessing is, Lord, pour it out on them. If you're here today and you say, you know, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I've not asked Jesus to be my Savior. I've not made him the Lord of my life. But today I want to change that because I want favor with God. I want heaven as my home. If that's your desire, then I want you to pray this prayer. Now, with that being said, I want you to understand that in order to receive Christ, the prayer doesn't save you. The words don't save you. What saves you is that you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You believe that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died on a cross, conquering death and hell and the grave. And you believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father today. You have to believe that. If you do not believe that, then you can pray all the prayers you want and you'll not be saved. But the Bible says that you believe that. And then to understand that this is you relinquishing your life and saying, Lord, I am yours. Today I give you me. And understand that when you choose to follow Christ, that there is a price to pay. And that price is you sacrificing the ungodliness and then making Jesus the Lord of your life. And so if you desire to do that today, you pray this prayer. And the prayer is just kind of a roadmap so that you can say, when times get tough, you can say, no, I remember the day that I called on Jesus. I remember the time that I gave him my life. I remember that moment when I decided I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for him. And this prayer is just a time stamp for you. And so if it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong against you. But today I repent of those sins. Today I acknowledge you, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world. I give you my life. I am willing to die to myself to live unto you. I'm willing to make decisions that honor you and don't honor me. I'm willing to reverence you, give you glory and give you the honor that's due. And so today, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you did what you said you did. And today I make you Lord of my life, Savior, King of kings, and Lord of lords.